Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Help! I suck at dating. With Dean Unglert and Jared Haven, an iHeartRadio podcast.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to an all-new episode of Help! I suck at dating. I'm Dean Unglert, joined by the beautifully headbanded Jared Haven in his luxury apartment in California.
Luxury? Who would say that?
Quick disclaimer, I just want to let everyone know I'm on the side of a highway in Northern California, so I might be in and out, and I might get distracted, but I'm here. We're Suck Army in today. It's a new week. We've got a great episode coming in for you guys. We have a very peculiar couple that started a podcast, a couple that used to be married, got divorced, staying friends, and coaching people through the divorce that might be going through it as well. But before we do all that stuff, Jared, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. You know, just, day by day, 2020, man, where each day gets a little bit worse than the day before. It's good though. We're healthy. Everybody's doing well. Other than that, you know, just grinding through just like everybody else is. How are you?
I'm good. Poison Oak setting in really nicely. The van is basically taken apart right now. I'm redoing everything inside of it. So just trying to make the most of this time that we have that we're probably never going to get back. You know, there are times where I like go through a couple days and I look back on the past like 3 or 4 days and I'm like, wow, I didn't do anything those past 96 hours. So I'm trying to be like a little bit more productive with my time.
Same. It's hard though because I have no motivation to do anything. When there's nothing to be done, I lose motivation, which is I feel like almost, or at least it's very different than Ashley. When Ashley has a lot of things to do, she gets tired very quickly, and when she has nothing to do, that's when she gets motivated. Where I'm the complete opposite. If there's nothing to be done, I have a tough time moving around, man. Like I drag ass. Anyway, So, yeah, we do have a couple guests that are coming up, Stephanie and Eric Spett. They are the host of a brand new podcast called Divorce Done Well. They're a divorced couple that started a podcast about their divorce. So it's pretty interesting stuff. So I figured we talk about in the first segment, seeing how we're going to talk about divorce in the second segment, we talk about marriage in the first segment. Because I'm fascinated by the idea of being married. I kind of wish I could get Ashley in here to talk about it because we've talked about on the podcast before how like I'm not the biggest believer in soulmates. Dean, I think you're similar in that one where like you don't believe in like this one person that's you're predestined to be with. And I was actually reading an article on psychologytoday.com it's this woman Shauna Springer, who has a PhD in something apparently. She goes, soulmates do exist, just not in the way we usually think. And her argument is kind of similar to mine, where soulmates are she doesn't think that like there's somebody that you find, you know, your perfectly matched soulmate, but she does believe that your quote unquote soulmate does exist by like growing so much admiration for someone's. And like the analogy she makes is she says, like, if humans can develop finely honed skills in like music, athletics, language, wouldn't it be equally possible for them to become perfectly suited and completely irreplaceable to their spouses? And I kind of agree with that, because at least in my own experience with Ashley, like from the get-go, I wouldn't have thought Ashley is my soulmate. But growing so close to her over the past 5 years and starting off as friends and then boyfriend, girlfriend, and then fiance, and now being married to her, like I could never imagine my life without her. And she's kind of grown to be my soulmate because she's irreplaceable to me. And I don't know, that kind of, it's very different than the love that we've been taught in our life about how a soulmate is someone that you meet who gives you feelings that you've never felt before. And it's these sparks that are just, it's fireworks right off the bat and this glorious aspect of love. And for me, I went through a very different process with my now wife. And that doesn't mean that she's not my soulmate, though. I just think I have a different interpretation of a soulmate. And I was kind of getting, I'd love to know your perspective on this, Dean.
Well, that's interesting that you say that, because I do agree with you that, I guess not agree with, but I find it surprising that you're saying that, because I always thought that you were kind of like the big romantic in the relationship with you and Ashley. Or did Ashley, like, let's say we ask Ashley the same question, would she say that you were her soulmate when you guys first met and she like knew it right away? Because I mean, obviously, if we watch her and know her story, which we do, she was obviously really, really into you at first. So do you think that she would call you her soulmate from even back then?
I think so. And actually, perfect timing. We have somebody coming into the glam room right now to give her perspective on this. Ashley, my dear, my love, would you consider me to be your soulmate right off the bat? Did you know from the moment you met me?
Well, it was love at first sight. So it was definitely like I was struck by something that I'd never felt before, which I know you didn't feel, and I just heard you recording.
Well, yeah, so you heard what I said, where I said that you've grown into my soulmate because you're irreplaceable to me.
Yes, and I appreciated that, and I like it just as much.
You like it just as much?
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yeah, I have no problem with that. I like it.
Okay, great.
Yeah, but, like, for me, like, I don't know that I would call it, like, I realized you were my soulmate at first sight. I realized I felt like I was in love with you at first sight. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I wonder, I guess, what soulmate would be even a step up. So you could, if I was Jared, I would argue that you could have liked him even more than you did, you know?
I could have liked Jared even more than I did?
Yeah, we all know how goo goo gaga you were over him at first, but you could have even been more. Like, if he was your soulmate and you knew it from the get-go, you would have been even more.
I don't know if anybody knows that they're soulmate at the get-go. I think you need a conversation to prove it. It's different than love at first sight, because love at first sight is like when you're struck by, like, you're just struck by somebody. But then with a soulmate, I think you at least need to have a couple days of conversation to judge the compatibility.
So are you saying that you can be in love with someone at first sight that's not your soulmate?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. Ashley, you're so wise. Why do you not come on this podcast more often?
I would love to.
Yeah, we seriously need your input.
I think it's fun
because
to hear Jared and I's, Jared and my different perspectives on our own relationship.
But isn't that kind of counterintuitive of everything we've learned growing up about love at first sight? I mean, I feel like every movie, every TV show, every book, everything I've ever been told is that like love at first sight equates to your soulmate.
No, it does not. I've never thought that from movies or whatnot.
I do agree with you that we're like conditioned to think that true love is this thing that you see someone and you should know right away that you're going to spend the rest of your life with them, and you should fight tooth and nail and never give up to fight for this one person that you don't even really know, but you're just convinced in your core that it's like the right person for you. But then in reality, then you like try and like to mimic those and echo those, but it doesn't happen that way. And then I think that kind of maybe like leads to people getting depressed. And they're like, well, I saw all these things happen in the movie when I was a kid, and now it's not working out for me that way. So why, like, what's wrong with me? And I think that is what maybe leads to, it's funny that we were going to have this couple that's divorced, because I think that's what leads to divorce, is people get so enamored and they see this like fairy tale type stuff, and then it turns out not to be that way. And so that's why, you know, splits happen.
I agree. I think people confuse lust with love. And so, and then people just act too quickly. And I mean, it is kind of weird though, when you think about it, because the median age, I looked this up, for getting married in the United States is at its highest point. It's 30 years old for men and 28 years old for women. This was back in 2018, according to U.S. Census. But the divorce rate is also the highest it's ever been, where it says in 2015, for every 1,000 married adults age 50 and older, 10 had divorced, which is up 5 in 1990. So pretty much they're saying the divorce rate has roughly tripled since 1990. So people are getting married older in life, which in my head would say that leads to a happier marriage, because you get to learn more about yourself in your 20s and then get married in your 30s. But at the same time, divorce rates have also tripled. So I guess it really just...
Wait, can we go back to that divorce stat? Can you say that stat one more time?
Pretty much the divorce rate has tripled since 1990.
No, the actual numbers per 1,000 people.
All right. It says that the U.S. marriage rate has declined. So actually less people in the United States are getting married. Divorce rates have actually increased among older adults. And it says in 2015, for every 1,000 married adults age 50 and older, 10 had divorced, which is up from 5 and 9. So pretty much every 1,000 people that get married, 10 divorce. Those are roughly.
No, that number is definitely not true. You're telling me 1% of marriages end in divorce? That is the...
But this also... See, this is a skewed stat, because this also says ages 50 and above. So if you're already married, if you've been married for like however many years, 15 years, by the time you're 50, you're probably not getting a divorce. Even though, ironically, the two people we have on a podcast today were married for 16 years and got a divorce. So who the hell knows? But the point is, what I'm saying is that divorce rate is going up, but also the median age of people getting married is later in life, which would have, initially, I would have thought that if you're getting married later in life, there would have been less likelihood of you getting divorced, but the divorce rate keeps going up. So I don't know.
I think maybe in addition to that, people are staying young longer, which I think probably has a big impact on it. Like with technology and social media and stuff, like, you know, a 30-year-old in 2020, I could be wrong on this, but a 30-year-old in 2020 is a lot younger than a 30-year-old in 1980. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you're right.
But you're right. I do think that as the median age skews older, you would think that the divorce rate would go down. But I think there's just a lot of other variables that come into play, like technology and stuff like that. Like, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, because one of the reasons that I'm like not super pro marriage is just because I've seen so many marriages like through my friends' parents and my parents fail so horribly. Mm-hmm. But I think that a lot of like it's kind of hard to even hold ourselves to the same standards that we do our parents, just because we're so generationally different. Like, the way that we're brought up is so different than how they were brought up 30 to 40 years ago, before we were even born. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. It's definitely an interesting thing to talk about.
Yeah. I mean, if you put like religious reasons aside, it is funny when you think about marriage, because it's like, hey, to prove our love, let's bring in the government.
Right.
It is pretty funny, but I'm excited to talk to both Stephanie and Eric about their new podcast, Divorce Done Well, and talk about their marriage, their divorce, when they knew it was over. Cause I think that's a difficult question to answer. Like, how do you know when you've been married for 16 years and then all of a sudden you're going to call it quits? That's a hard thing to do. So
I never answered your question. Which I apologize for. That's my bad. You asked me if I believe in soulmates, right?
Oh yeah. That was the original question.
Yeah, I kind of just deflected the whole time. I don't know if I believe in soulmates. Maybe I'm kind of in the same camp as you are with Ashley, where when I look at Kaylin, I'm like, oh, like, I can't imagine my life without Kaylin, just like you can't imagine yours without Ashley. I don't necessarily know if that makes us soulmates, but I know that I would prefer a life with her than I would without her. You know what I mean? So it's like, I don't know if that makes us soulmates. Maybe we are soulmates. I know that. I don't know, actually. It's such an interesting thing to think about.
Well, think about it. I want to get it. I want you to talk more about it because I think it's an interesting topic of conversation, specifically for you, because you're in a relationship that's been a little over a year now. So it's getting into that category of...
I'll text Kaylin right now and ask her if she thinks we're soulmates. What do you think she'll say?
I don't know, but I'm very excited to hear the answer. And hopefully you guys are too. So make sure you stick around. We have Eric and Stephanie Speck coming up next. And then Dean will tell us what Kaylin says about the question if Dean is her soulmate. But first, let's take a little break.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Looking for a healthy, natural mood boost? Boost your health and happiness with Happy Saffron Plus by BrainMD, the 3-in-1 formula for a better you. Happy Saffron Plus was developed by Dr. Daniel Amen, a double board certified psychiatrist and world-renowned leader in brain and mental health. It contains a mix of the most potent saffron, curcumin, and zinc. Three clinically studied ingredients proven to improve mood, help support your memory, and decrease stress. Happy Saffron Plus is changing lives. Join the thousands already experiencing a happier, healthier lifestyle. Get Happy Saffron Plus with a special offer at GetHappyToday.com, where you'll find the lowest price available anywhere. That's GetHappyToday.com. Happy Saffron Plus. Make your brain and body happy. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, welcome back to Help I Suck at Dating. We have a couple special guests who are on the line right now. They are the hosts of the brand new podcast, Divorce Done Well. We have the host right here, Stephanie and Eric Spett. Stephanie and Eric, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you guys doing?
Hello.
Thanks for having us, Jared.
Well, I'm good. Yeah, thank you.
So you guys have this brand new podcast, Divorce Done Well. So I'd love a little bit of history of why you decided to jump into the podcasting world, because for a little context, which I'd love for you guys to talk about, because this is what the podcast and our podcast is about too, relationships, is that you, Eric and Stephanie, you were married and now you are divorced and you have kids and you went through what a lot of people go through. And so why did you decide to start a podcast talking about that situation?
Stephanie, I'll let you take that one.
Okay, yeah. So, yes, Divorce Done Well. You can follow us, by the way, or you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Our website's divorcedonewell.net. Why did we decide to do a podcast? Well, it was much to my bothering Eric about it. You know, when we were going through our divorce, it's not something that we ever, I mean, I can tell you it's not something that we ever would have thought that we would have done, because getting a divorce is really hard. But after we got divorced, we have kids, and we both decided that our kids were going to be our North Star, and we were going to focus on that. And all the other stuff that sort of went into getting a divorce with time kind of went by the wayside. And I said to Eric, we're going to get really rich and we're going to get a podcast. Not really.
Hasn't happened yet, by the way.
But no, I mean, I said to him, I think that we could offer a service, honestly, that, I mean, how many divorced couples do you know out there that are doing a podcast together? They're single women, they're single men, but there's no couple that are able to tolerate each other enough to have a podcast. So it's all came from a good place. We were trying to help people. And the funny part is that it's really kind of been therapy for us.
I'm certain you cover this on your podcast, but for our listeners that want maybe a little bit more backstory, could you share how the divorce even came about? Because I feel like, you know, obviously we know divorce is pretty rampant nowadays.
Yes.
Mostly we see is ending on bad terms, but it sounds like you guys maybe just didn't end on bad terms, because I'm kind of curious how that relationship just dissolved and now you guys seem obviously perfectly okay with each other.
You want me to take it?
Eric, yes, I think you should take that one.
Yeah, so we were married for,
17 years.
Okay, 17 years. We got separated.
Sounds like you guys are still married.
Yeah, exactly. So we got separated.
We still function a little.
Just before our 16th wedding anniversary, but with the, you know, divorce takes a while. And we started dating when we were both in college. I was a senior in college. She was a freshman.
And then we
were young. We were super young. Then I went away to law school. She stayed in college. And then we came back and we dated. You know, during that time, we were on and off. We dated other people. And then we had a long, so we dated for a long time. And then we got to this place in, you know, 2016. And I think we were just different people than we were, you know, back when, you know, she was 18 and I was 20 years old. And so there wasn't really anything dramatic at that point that you know, that forced us to go this direction. I think it was just, it just wasn't working for either of us anymore. And so we decided that was, this is what made the most sense. And, you know, we'd seen a lot of other people. We had some very good friends, you know, go through divorce. It was kind of at that stage of life where we saw a lot of people start breaking up, and people were having a terrible time and they were doing terrible things to their kids, not on purpose, but you know, when you're fighting and you're not being good to each other, it affects the kids. And so we took a look at our situation and we said, you know, is this what we want? Do we want to screw up our kids like we're seeing our friends do? And we both decided that we wanted to do it differently. And so we weren't going to be married anymore. But like our son says, you know, we're still a family. It just looks very different.
Can I ask what you thought the other couples were doing that hurt the kids? Because I hear a lot of times when couples are going through tough times, specifically married couples, you want to stay together for the kids. But you guys obviously decided to go against that. So can you kind of go into more detail about why you guys think divorce was actually better for your family?
Yeah, I'll say briefly my thoughts on it. And I know Stephanie has thoughts too. You know, towards the latter parts of our marriage, the marriage probably ended years before we signed the papers. And, you know, when that starts happening, the kids can tell. Kids are very intuitive. And our daughter particularly, I think, really felt the tension in the house. And, you know, I was amazed how well adjusted she seemed to be when we, you know, when we told her we were getting divorced, and in the months and years since then. And I think it's because she recognized this tension had sort of dissipated. She still got, you know, divorce is never great. You would love to have both parents in the house, and we don't advocate for divorce, but sometimes, you know, removing that tension is a net positive for the kids. And I think that was the case with us.
And I think what we've seen, and I mean, you see it even on, there was this, what was that that movie that we watched, Eric, not together, but separately, A Marriage Story. But Eric it was story. Based, it was yeah. with, what's her name?
Scarlett Johansson and Adam Driver.
Yes, 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 yes. And so if you, like that movie epitomizes like what it gets like, because we said, oh, there wasn't one reason, but I mean, we had hurt feelings. I hurt Eric, he hurt me. It's not like one day we were like, let's get divorced, it's great. There was a lot of anger and hurt, but we don't disparage each other. If I'm mad at Eric, I don't tell my daughter, your dad's being a jerk and this is what he did. It seems to, like a lot of parents resort to like the high school ways and like talking bad about the other person. And it's easy to do. I mean, especially at the beginning. I mean, when Eric and I were not in the best place, I mean, I was aggravated with him. But I never said anything to him. I never said to my kids anything bad about him. And they remember that. So I would say that if there was one piece of advice, it would be don't talk bad about your ex to your kids, because guess who's going to lose? You are. They're not going to want to be around you because you're just talking bad about your ex. So yeah, I don't know if that answers your question. The point is,
no matter what you may think about your ex, that's not how your kids look at them.
Yeah.
And so if you disparage your kids to your ex, you may think that, oh, well, I'm going to win points for that with them. They're going to now look at me better. That's not going to happen. It's going to be just the opposite. They're going to be like, why would you? Can I cuss on this podcast?
Go for it.
Why are you talking about my mom? That's my mom. You know, and that may feel good to you in the moment, but like Stephanie said, I think they remember that stuff later on, and I think it will come back to bite you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm curious, because when you guys sat down the kids to kind of explain what was going on, as parents who are getting divorced, I would imagine do, I would imagine most of those conversations will go, but everything's going to be fine. Like, we're still going to be friends. But in most cases, it probably isn't the case. But you guys, I'm sure, was there like a different way that you approached even having the discussion with your children?
You know, that's the worst. That is the single worst part of getting a divorce, is telling your kids. If you have kids, telling your kids is the worst. And I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anyone, but you get past it. But that's Eric and I were a mess. And we didn't say, I don't think we knew. I don't think we ever said we're going to be friends. We said, we love you. This has nothing to do with you. You know, our son was older. He ran out of the house. He was devastated. I mean, Eric and I both were crying. First he was crying, then I was crying. They say, oh, you're not supposed to cry. I mean, there's all these rules, but we didn't say we were going to be friends, but we modeled it, which we had not been modeling the best, at least I hadn't, being the best parent. So really the only way to go was up, but I think we just kind of, I don't know. I feel like we've navigated our divorce way better than our marriage. And I think our kids see that. We respect each other. And I don't think either of us, I mean, we weren't happy. And when you're not happy, you're not nice to your partner. And that's really what happens. So yeah, that doesn't go well telling your kids, but you know, you gotta be honest and you can't say, oh, we're going to be friends and all of that, because you don't know, right?
Now that you guys are newly single, how do you guys navigate dating new people?
Well, we're not totally newly single.
With both your partner and your children.
Yes. How do we navigate that? Well, that's an interesting question. You tread lightly. Our kids are super sensitive to that. We are both dating people at the time, and we've introduced them, and my son is more into it. My daughter can't be bothered. You don't want to see your parents as somebody else, but I do know that just from personal experience and what I've seen from other friends, I really try to not that I dated all these people or that I have the greatest advice, but just not having some sort of revolving door of people being introduced to my kids. Because I think that can be confusing. Yeah, go ahead.
And I was just going to say, you don't force it on them. Like when the time's right for them to sort of be introduced to that concept or to that person, you'll know it. You know, they still, you know, they've got this family of mom and dad, and you know, they need time, I think, to sort of get over that that idealized image. And once they do, I think then maybe they're willing to entertain that, you know, other people can be involved in mom and dad's life. But I think it's don't force it on them because I think it'll backfire. They'll kind of let you know when they're ready.
What kind of things did you guys do to try to work on the marriage? Did you go to couples therapy? And then also my question is, when did you know that this wasn't something that could be saved? When did you know that you guys would have to get a divorce? And I guess my question is, how do you know?
I know. That's the million-dollar question. I think I struggled for a long time knowing, and I think, like Eric said at the beginning, you stay together longer because it's hard. I mean, finances, you've got kids, but we did go to therapy. We went to lots of therapists. If anybody needs a recommendation, you can DM me because I got lots of names. We went to individual therapy. We went to couples therapy. I went to group therapy.
I stole Stephanie's therapist. And then made it my therapist.
That's correct. I mean, we did. I feel like, could we have done more? Maybe. Could I have looked at our marriage differently? You know, I definitely have a different perspective now. If I had looked at our marriage now, like, you know, things could have been different. I spent some time sort of beating myself up because I think I'm more aware now than I was when we were married. I was too concerned about being right and, you know, maybe pissing Eric off. But we did try. I think we tried the best that we knew how at the time. And when you know, my therapist always said, like, you just know. And I feel like there was a moment for me where I just knew, like, it wasn't going to work for lots of different reasons. But do you ever really know? I mean, it's scary as shit. I didn't work for a long time. I didn't have a career. I, you know, Eric did very well, provided for our family. It's scary. But I, you know, you just have to make a decision to move forward. And we weren't. So I think we tried our best.
Eric, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah.
No, yeah, I think Stephanie's right. I don't think you ever really know 100%. I think Stephanie's right. I think we tried really hard. When you have kids, I think your incentive is to try. I mean, shame on you if you don't try to make it work and make it work in a way that's, you know, where you can provide a loving house for your kids. If you can't do that, then like we talked about before, it doesn't make sense to stay married. And it's also easier, I think, if you don't have kids, it's easier to just, because you're just walking away from a relationship. You're not walking away from a whole family. And I think we stayed together probably longer than we should have because we had kids. I don't think that's a bad thing, but I think that's sort of a natural thing that you try to do. You know, like I said, you do everything you can to try to save it for your kids. And at some point you realize it's a losing battle.
Right. And just know that we don't get here overnight. It's not like Eric and I, people are like, y'all are ridiculous. We've already gotten some feedback. Like, that's not real. That's ridiculous. You guys can't get along. But like time, it's been 4 years since we've been apart and 3 years divorced. I mean, time really helps everything. So people that reach out to us are generally pretty angry at their spouse or soon to be ex-spouse because it's the beginning.
Has your perspective on love changed since your divorce?
Good question.
On love. I don't know if I ever want to get married again. I like the fairy tale and I believe that I don't believe that there's one person though for everybody. So I believe in love. I believe it's out there. You know, I'm with somebody now. I love him, but I don't know that there's one person for everybody. And I think, you know, I think another mistake that I made just from growing up is that you build this fantasy up. I met Eric when I was 18. We got married when I was 26. It was all of these things that I, in my head, thought things were supposed to be, and it's nothing like that. So I think I'm having a more realistic view of love.
I think that's the key.
Yeah. Yeah. And that if things end, I'm not going to fall apart because I've been through way worse. And for me, that, you know what I mean? Like, if you're in a relationship and it's not working, if you're dating, the devastation doesn't seem to be as big as, I don't know, for me. I'm a very emotional person, you may be able to tell. And so things just hit me pretty hard. But I have noticed that with getting divorced, I'm not as emotional about things like that.
Well, you guys are both very vulnerable, which is a breath of fresh air, especially you're vulnerable in a very sensitive subject, like your divorce, yes, which a lot of people are unwilling to talk about and a lot of people go through. It's great that you guys have a platform for people to go and listen to who are going through similar situations. And it's funny because you guys got a divorce, I'm assuming because you felt like you needed separation, and then you decided to do a podcast together.
Well, isn't that funny? I know. Yeah,
it was the promise. It was the promise of getting wealthy, which, I mean, Stephanie, to be clear, she did promise me that, and it hasn't happened yet. So I'm gonna hang on to this thing until that happens.
You might want to play the lottery also, just to kind of hedge your bets.
Oh, obviously. So of course, everybody can go check out Divorce Done Well. Can you guys tease us? Because I see that you have an episode up on Apple Podcasts right now. But give us a tease about what people can expect.
Okay, so divorcedonewell.net, you can get to our podcast from our website. You can also go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify. So basically, you'll just kind of get a day in the life. We have different topics. We have experts. We talk about how we handle Halloween. We handle how we handle birthdays. I mean, maybe seem pretty mundane, but it's, you know, should we all take a trip together or should we not take a trip together? And is that weird? And how will your boyfriend or girlfriend feel about that? So it's basic stuff that divorced couples deal with day to day. And we kind of just offer a platform for that.
And it's hilarious.
Yes, we're very funny. Yes.
Very good. Well, again, Stephanie and Eric, thank you so much for joining us. We really appreciate
you.
Thanks for having us.
Yes.
It's a lot of fun.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Everyone knows how much Dean and I love to travel, especially after enduring a Colorado winter. I'll take any chance I can to be in a sunny, beachy place right about now.
Well, Kaylin, I have the perfect place we can travel to next. In Puerto Rico, there are nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline. And when it comes to photography, the landscape is unbeatable.
I think I need to go there for a relaxing vacation before baby number two comes, which is great, but also I'm very nervous. Puerto Rico offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to beautiful black sand beaches.
There's no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
As we wave goodbye to winter's chill, it's time to give our lawn a little love and embrace the freshness of spring. And guess what? The Home Depot's Spring Black Friday sale is here to make it all a breeze. Snag the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and say goodbye to tedious yard work. With a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power, your lawn will look spotless in a flash. And the best part? Thanks to the convenience of online shopping, you can effortlessly place your order via the app, cruise into the store for pickup, and find yourself chilling in your freshly spruced up yard in no time. Don't let this awesome deal blow away. Get your hands on the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for only $89. Yeah, just $89. Exclusively during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
All right, we are back with Help I Suck at Dating. Hello, Suck Army. Welcome back. Dean texted Kaylin, "Are you my soulmate?"
So suck, I'm suck, suck, suck,
suck, suck, suck.
Everybody sucks, sucks, sucks at dating.
I'll never forget the first time we did that. It was at Foxwoods when we were at what the hell's the name of that club? We had a club appearance, and anyway, it was in Connecticut, and we were just like, And we weren't that drunk, but we were feeling ourselves, apparently. We just started, like, chanting, suck, 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 everybody. That was a good time. Anyway.
I think we were sober. I think that's what the problem was. That's why we were like, let's get some energy up.
Yeah. We were very prideful in our podcast. Still are. You know, obviously, People's Choice 2020 is probably out the window. COVID, just terrible. But next year, now People's Choice Award 2021, we're coming for you, baby. Help I Suck at Dating. Sunk Army's going to get us there. But in the meantime, like I said, Dean texted Kaylin, are you my soulmate? So we're very excited for Kaylin's response. Hopefully she'll text back before the end of the podcast. But before then, we wanted to get to your wonderful emails, our wonderful listeners, Suck Army. So Mark, with your wonderful voice, if you'd like to read us some emails, that'd be great.
All right. Thank you, boys. This is from Hannah. For the past 6 months, I've had a crush on my best friend's brother. He's 29. I'm 27. We're both single. Do I talk to the sister first or do I just shoot my shot with the brother?
Jared, what do you think?
Oh, you talk to the sister first. It's your best friend. You got to be like, listen, I'm kind of crushing on your brother right now. Like, do you think it's a good idea? Do you think it's a bad idea? What are your thoughts? Like, they're your best friend. I would hope that your best friend would want you to be happy, and that would include possibly dating their brother.
Yeah, but what if she goes to her sister, her best friend? Best friend says, sure, go for it. And then she goes for it and she gets rejected. You know, don't you think maybe she should like feel out if there's any like interest on the brother's side? Otherwise, it's like maybe she's like even asking in vain. She's going to ruffle some feathers and then she's going to get the green light or yellow light, proceed with caution, goes for it, gets rejected. And now there's tension everywhere in this friendship.
Oh, yeah. No, that's why I think she should talk to the sister. Like, I agree with you, Dean. Just get,
I don't think you understand what I'm saying.
Oh, what are you saying then?
No, I'm saying maybe she should go straight to the brother to see if the feelings are reciprocated at all. Otherwise, why would you waste your time with telling your friend that, you know what I mean?
See, I would talk to the friend and I would be like, listen, I like your brother. Do you think your brother likes me? And then the sister can like kind of try to feel it out without exactly saying it and just be like, hey, my friend Hannah, like she looks good tonight, right? Or try to figure out like, hey, would you ever date Hannah? What are your thoughts about that? Because then she has it in. Like right, Hannah has it in. So like, you know, get some intel.
I see what you're saying, but let's say that Hannah's best friend doesn't like that Hannah has a crush on her brother, and she asks her friend about it. She gets upset, and then she comes to find out later that the guy that she had a crush on doesn't even like her. So she made her friend upset for nothing because the guy doesn't even like her. You know what I mean?
I don't get it.
It's like she's putting the cart in front of the horse. It's like, why say that she likes someone if she doesn't even know if they like him, like her back?
Dean's saying that it's risky to go to the sister first. It could cost you both of them.
Exactly, yeah. So this is what I think she should do. I think she should sit them both down at the same time say, listen, this is the deal. This is what's going on. I got a crush on you. You're my best friend. How do we proceed? What do we do next? And then you come to a mutual understanding and conclusion.
Yeah, have an intervention about liking someone. I think, Hannah, talk to your best friend. Be like, listen, I like your brother. Would your brother ever date me?
That's the right thing to do. But Dean makes a point.
That's definitely the good advice. Don't get me wrong. But yeah, I just wanted to play the other side, play the other angle a little bit.
I don't hate feeling out the boyfriend a little bit before you go to maybe it's just a little bit of flirting just to see if he's receptive to it, and then go to the sister.
Right. But don't overstep because
right.
If your best friend gets wind that you're trying to date her brother without having heard from you first, that's when the friendship it's no longer a friendship after that.
See, it's a tightrope.
I'm under the impression that there's already been flirtation between Hannah and the best friend's brother, which is why she has a crush on him.
Yeah.
Or maybe she.
I mean, when I was young, I had a crush on people that I've never even talked to. So.
I had a huge crush on my friend's older sister. Isn't that like it's amazing how like every older sister was just hot at 11, you know, like when I was 11, if they were like 15, 16, 17 years old, like they were just like the hottest girl ever.
Did you ever tell your buddy about it?
Oh, we used to bust his balls all the time. Of course she was, she was an attractive girl, but it's just like amazing how like the older sister's always the hottest one. I actually, I made out with my, one of my really good friend's older cousin one time. And it was like one of the coolest moments of my life. Cause she was like 5 years older than me. She was the hot older cousin. And for some reason she was like, yeah, this guy's hot. And I was like, all right, let's do it.
That's awesome, dude. I didn't know how cool you were.
Oh, it was like momentarily cool. I was like cool for like a day. And then it went back to normal. But for that day, I was king of the castle, my friend.
All right, from Samantha. If a guy asks you to marry him and you say, I don't know, I need to think about it, is that a no? Or does that guy think it's a no? My boyfriend asked me to marry him and I said, I'd think about it. I'm 26, he's 27. We've been dating a year and a half. I do love him and can see myself marrying him one day, but I don't know if I'm ready to be engaged in a wife yet. I love my job and where I am in life right now. I don't want that to change. I don't want to break up, but I fear we will if I say no to right now. I feel like I have to give him an answer soon, so please help me out.
You know what's so funny about this? With engagements, we're so accustomed to it has to be either a yes or a no. But mm-hmm. saying I'll think about it is probably the most responsible response somebody can have to the most important question of their life. Like, will you spend the rest of your life with me? Well, let me think about it. That's very understanding. And like, I can understand why someone would have that response. Even though this guy's definitely shattered. Like if I asked Ashley to marry me and she goes, well, let me think about it. Like I would be done. I would just quickly sink into the ground to which I was kneeling on. I mean, I don't know. It all depends on Samantha. If you think you're ready in life, you know, you've been together for what, a year and a half. That's a decent amount of time. I wonder if you guys live together at all. You're 27. You don't want to lose him, which is a big factor because she says she doesn't want to break up.
Let me ask you this: since you're married, and you already said the for life thing, it's you know, you've already made that promise. If this girl is saying that she can see a life with this guy, why wouldn't she just go and marry him? Like, what do you think her hesitation is?
Well, I mean, to be fair, it is it's a scary endeavor. Like we were talking to Eric and Stephanie earlier about knowing when the right time to get a divorce is. It's also very difficult to know when is the right time to choose that this is the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. Sometimes you just got to dive in. And I think really it comes down to which outweighs what. Like, what's more important to you, spending the rest of your life with this particular person or losing them? Like, which will impact you greater? I think that's the question at hand, you know? And I'm sure you asked the same thing with Kaylin, is like, you know, if Kaylin, say Kaylin asked you to marry her, I'm sure you'd have to think about the same thing. Like, you know, does the fear of losing this person outweigh the want to be with them for the rest of my life? I don't know. You know what's funny about this though? I have this up on my screen really quickly, so I might as well talk about it. It's from thespruce.com, so take it with a grain of salt, but it talks about the wrong reasons to get married and the right reasons to get married, which is right up this email's alley. So can I just run through a couple of these really quickly, if you don't mind?
Go for it.
All right. So a couple of wrong reasons to get married. You feel too guilty or ashamed to back out when plagued with doubt. You're willing to gamble on a future spouse changing or having potential. So your fear that this person will change. You want to have sex. So don't get married if you just want to have sex. To ease loneliness, to be happy. To show you're an adult or pregnancy, kids, because you want a baby, for money purposes, because all your friends are married, out of the fear that you'll never marry anybody else, you're tired of being single. Those are the reasons not to get married, apparently. And some of the right reasons to get married are you're in love with one another, a desire to share your life with this person, to have a lifetime companion. You both have realistic expectations and shared goals. I think shared goals is a big one. I think if you share certain goals with somebody, you know, with family purposes, like overall life goals, because Dean, I'm sure, you know, traveling is very important to you. Having a certain level of independence is very important to you. And if Kaylin wasn't allowing that to you, I don't know if you guys would have a successful relationship.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. It's funny, actually, because when you were reading off those don'ts, it made me think of one of my friends who is considering breaking up with his girlfriend. And his reason for not breaking up with his girlfriend was that all of his friends are in relationships. And so he doesn't want to be the only single person.
Yeah, it's a bad reason to stay with someone.
Exactly. I was like, dude, you shouldn't be in a relationship just because your friends are in relationships. And like, you don't want to be alone and single. Like, that's not a good reason to stay in a crappy relationship. I don't know. That's just the first, that's where my mind went when you were saying that. But you're right. I do agree that shared goals is super important. And in my and Kaylin's situation, it's nice that, what's nice is when we first started dating, we were very clear with each other about who we were and what we wanted. And so I was always like, look, I like you said, I like my independence. I want to be able to go places as often as we can. And sometimes I want to go places alone. Sometimes I would love if you were to come with me. And so now it kind of set the precedent where it's like, if I want to, like for instance, right now, like if I want to go on a camping trip for 3 days by myself, it's not like straight out of left field where she's like, well, what do you mean you want to go by yourself for 3 days? That doesn't really make any sense. And so I don't know if that's necessarily a shared goal in that sense, but it's a very shared understanding of what we are interested in doing.
Absolutely.
One thing just to chime in with, at the top of this podcast, we were talking about soulmates, and you had the pleasure of asking Ashley in person if she was your soulmate and or if you were her soulmate. I didn't have that luxury. So I texted Kaylin right after we talked about that. And I just said, hey, do you think we're soulmates? And she, what do you guys think she said? I guess I would like to hear what you think she might have said.
She definitely said yes.
Mark, what do you think?
I think she threw it back on you and she said, what do you think?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you guys are both right. I said, do you think we're soulmates? And she said, yes. And then she said, next text, she said, do you? And then I just responded, you do. And she said, you and me? Yeah, of course. And I just said, of course. she said, yes, of course. You don't? And I haven't responded to that one
yet. Oh, but, gosh, you better.
But yeah. I wanted to share that because we didn't have the luxury of having her chime in live on that
one. You guys are so freaking adorable, I'm telling you.
You know who's not soulmates? Samantha and this dude. I don't think this is the guy for her. And I think she is scared to break up with him and start over again. But I don't think this is the guy for her. She should be super excited.
Wait a minute.
Excited.
Whoa. Why? She says she can see herself marrying him one day.
Yeah, she can, but she's not excited about it. So what's wrong with saying, if someone asks you, when someone gets down on the knee and they pull out a ring, I feel like you should be overwhelmed with joy. And if you're not, I think it's a red flag. I think it's a problem. And maybe she hasn't addressed that deep down inside. Because she could say yes and then have a long engagement. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's honestly what I was thinking she should do, is say yes, get engaged, plan like at least two-year engagement. And then see where you're at in 2 years. And if it's like, yeah, oh, I'm all in. Like, it came to fruition, this idea you could see yourself marrying him, then great. And if over the 2 years the relationship dissolves, then you know before you get married.
And you've already destroyed this guy by saying you'll think about it. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's done. It's all
might be trying to. Might be trying to move on. Anyway, one more quick one. Katie's, she's like this guy on this dating app. He's really cute, but in all the pictures, he has a closed mouth smile. So she assumes he has bad teeth. She says, I don't need perfect teeth, but I need pretty good teeth. I'm big on teeth. How do you get someone to smile with their teeth before you meet them without being rude?
Well, listen, if somebody on a first date doesn't smile with their teeth the entire time, then something's up with that mouth. So just.
But what about on all of his all of the photos on his app, right? He's hiding something, don't you think?
Probably, but that shouldn't be a deterrent from her going on a date with this guy. Find out.
I think do a Zoom date. Don't waste your time. Find out that first.
Yeah.
Well, and also maybe he thinks his teeth aren't worth smiling for, but she might like them. Like, that's, you know, I remember when when I had bad teeth, not bad teeth, I had a bad tooth in high school, one crooked tooth, and I hated it so much. And it was the only thing that I ever saw in photos whenever I smiled, and I hated it. And I can't express to you guys how much I hated this one crooked tooth. But everyone else thought that I had the best smile in the world. And I was like, but look at this stupid crooked tooth. And everyone's like, oh, that tiny little crooked tooth? What do you mean? So maybe he's on that same camp where he thinks he has a bad smile, but in reality, other people think that he has a nice smile.
You know what? I think, Dean, you hated that tooth so much because it was the one flaw in that perfect face.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. And you want to know what's funny is I've got Invisalign 3 times on 3 separate occasions to fix the stupid crooked tooth. And every time it fixes it a little bit more and a little bit more, but it's still not perfect. And every time I smile, even now, after having Invisalign 3 times, I still only see that one slightly crooked tooth.
You got to get that face perfect, bro. It has to be perfect on every angle. I have a fang tooth that I always have been self-conscious about. And even I'll get comments about it, about how I have vampire teeth, but honestly, I've grown to really like it now because I feel that it's kind of become a part of my, I don't know who I am. Like, I have a vampire tooth. Like, I kind of like that. It's a little bit different.
Yeah, I agree. I think you have great teeth.
Well, thanks, bro. I think you have great teeth as well. All because of Invisalign.
I think my tiny little crooked tooth, it's what's keeping me at a 9.9. And if I had that one tooth straight, I would be a 10 out of 10.
But Dean's right. We all know somebody who was told by someone at some point that they have their smile is too gummy or their teeth are weird, when the truth is they have a great smile. I work with one. I'm not going to name them, but she doesn't smile with her teeth. And I don't get it because she has a beautiful smile. But somewhere along the way, she got the impression that it was bad. So, yeah, this guy's probably self-conscious. Doesn't mean he has bad teeth.
I agree. That's sad. I don't know who that person
there
is.
There it is.
That's very sad. Dean, I'm looking at pictures of you right now. Dude, your teeth are fucking legitimately perfect. What are you talking about?
Who, Mark's?
Yours.
Who, mine? Yeah, no, I know. But it's like, well, you know, when you know what to look for, you can see it. I'm not going to tell you what to look for, but there's just one little tooth that just doesn't want to be straight. And you know what? I respect your approach where you're like, it's just me. This is who I am, and I'm happy with it. And I am that way, but it's just when it comes to teeth, my own teeth specifically, it's the one thing that just really bugs me so, so much.
That's fair, brother. That is fair.
Do we want to do another email or should we just call it quits for the day?
I think those are the emails for the day, man. I think that's the podcast, as sad as it is, but time flies by when you're listening to Help I Suck at Dating.
That was a fun one.
That was a good one.
Thanks for sticking with me as I struggled to hear you guys talk, and you probably didn't hear anything I said for a lot of the time too. So I appreciate you guys working with me on there.
Hey, anytime, brother. Anytime. Thanks for being you, Dean.
Oh, I want to give one quick shout out. So Kaylin and I went down to San Diego this past weekend for like a little staycation, played some golf, etc. And as we were going to get dinner one night, or breakfast one morning, I'm sorry, this girl like stops us, and she's like, obviously we're wearing masks, so kudos to her for even spotting us in the first place. And she goes, I'm your biggest fan of your podcast. I listen every week. I can't wait to listen next week because I might suck a little bit less. And I was like, wow, this girl's rattling off even our catchphrases and stuff. So I want to give a quick shout. I want to give a quick shout out to her for being a super fan. We need to get her one of those beanies whenever we come out with those. But I just wanted to give her a quick shout out.
That's awesome. Shout out to her. I wish I knew her name. But shout out to the San Diego girl who spotted Kaylin and Dean even in mask. And thank you for being a fan of the podcast. We really appreciate it because, I mean, we say it every week, but it's true. Without you guys, there is no podcast, and we can't thank you enough for listening, especially to us, because I feel like Dean and I just, like, say nonsense all the time.
Yeah, you do. You absolutely do. Well, do you want to say some nonsense and get us out of here for the week?
Absolutely. Thank you to Eric and Stephanie Spett for joining us on the podcast. You can listen to their podcast, Divorce Done Well, wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you to all the emailers who sent us emails. You know that's our favorite part of the podcast, so please keep sending us emails. You can follow us on Instagram, Help I Suck at Dating. You can also join our Facebook group, Help I Suck at Dating Podcast. And then I think that is it. Dean, thank you so much for being the wonderful man you are. And then make sure you guys tune in next week, where hopefully we all suck a little less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico, but it's more than a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Let the Boricua spirit welcome you with a warm embrace to start each day and remind you why you travel in the first place.
In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. With nearly 300 beaches and 300 miles of coastline, there's always new places to explore.
The island's diverse geography offers everything from secluded coves with white sand and crystalline water to stunning black sand beaches. There are spots that are perfect for water sports. You can surf, snorkel, paddleboard, or go diving.
To travel to Puerto Rico, there is no passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and open Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.